Herzlich willkommen zu Mein Element, dem Podcast vom Lützebäuer Journal und Zusammenarbeit mit dem Fonds National de la Recherche.
Okay, I don't want to offend anyone. I think there is no one definition of all people.
Sophie, also
when I talk about that to with people in general, say, why do you care? They will die.
Sophie, also
in high school, my math teacher told me that I was not a scientist.
Gut. Mir auch gewusst, dass wir alle spätestens seit dem Covid kennen. Mehr, was ich kenne. Viele Leute tun doof, wie ich überhaupt. Mehr, was ich kenne. Das ist nicht nur ein stabil Scrabble-Wort. Mehr auch gewusst, dass wir alle spätestens seit dem Covid kennen. Mehr, was ich kenne. Die meisten Leute tun das Wort du für dich gerecht hören. Und du fragst mich, ist das dann auch die richtige Definition, die wir alle im Kopf haben, par rapport zum eigentlichen Beruf? Und am besten erklärt das dat Sophie selber.
Yes, I don't think that even in if you ask anyone in the street, do you know what an epidemiologist is doing, he will know, probably. He will maybe link it to COVID-19, but I'm not sure they will know exactly what we did, for instance, well, not me personally, but what other epidemiologists did for COVID-19. And I think because of the word epidemics in epidemiology, there are more thinking about epidemics or, I don't know, flu or COVID or things like that, less cancer, I guess, but we can do epidemiology on all conditions, even traffic accidents or what else, cardiovascular disease, or there is even vet epidemiology. So yes, we can. I don't know if the lay person can know what an epidemiologist knows, even today, even after COVID-19, what an epidemiologist is. Okay, so I'm epidemiologist by background. So it means I try to understand at population level what cause or prevent some disease, such as cancer, or also try to understand what could improve survival for people with cancer, for instance. But it's very broad. We can study many things. Quality of life, things like that. And currently I'm leading a research unit, which is called Aging Cancer and Disparities, which aims to improve cancer outcomes in older adults. And the team is multidisciplinary. We are mixing quantitative method, so playing with data, with qualitative method, so it's more the analysis of text or interviews or words or sentences to try, yes, at a different level on the cancer pathway. Our GP can refer a person presenting in their clinic with some symptoms that are not specific to cancer and trying to understand what is their reasoning and when are they thinking about cancer, when, for instance, a patient comes to them with some abdominal pain or fatigue or weight loss or things like that. Mm-hmm. And Inja Pinker, she's a psychologist by background and she's interested in the treatment decision-making process.
War das auch schon eine Epidemie? Laut Internet also zumindest ein relativ sehr zeitlich und auch territorial begrenzt Krankheit, die irgendwo ausbricht, und ganz viele Leute aussticht. Das ist ein Unterschied zu der Pandemie, die wir hatten, beispielsweise die weltweit abgetreten ist. Bloß aber bin ich froh, wenn halt Epidemiologist ist und gleichzeitig auch Krebs behandelt, kann ich da nur von Krebs als Epidemie schwätzen.
No, cancer is not an epidemic. What an epidemiologist do? An epidemiologist do a lot of different things. It's really depending. For instance, when I started my career as an epidemiologist, very junior, I was doing it in Africa. So I was interviewing young mother about their newborn with the questionnaires and so on. So data collection on the field. But now most of the epidemiologists work behind a computer analyzing data, so observational data, like I mentioned, and doing analysis. What epidemiologists are, it depends if you are working in academia or in public health institute, like Observatoire de la Santé here in Luxembourg. You have epidemiologists working there, which is not research per se. Yes, there are a lot of different activities and type of work depending on the disease. You won't work on cancer the same way that you will work on infections like COVID and so on. You won't work to describe the flu epidemics like you will work on Ebola epidemics in Africa. So it's difficult to say one thing about epidemics. It's so broad, different type of activities that goes to create a questionnaire, to analyze complex data, and to talk to policymakers. So it's very, very broad.
An diesem Podcast haben wir schon viel über Forschung gesprochen und noch über medizinische Forschung. Und seitdem wissen wir, dass es immer ein Prototyp gibt. Meistens ist das der Mann von einem gewissen Alter, von einer gewissen Größe und von einem gewissen Gewicht. Das Problem ist aber, wenn er nicht dem Prototyp entspricht, dann kann es ein bisschen zu viel Konklusionen kommen. Zum Beispiel, das haben wir auch schon gelernt, dass in Frauen bislang oft vergessen wird an diesen Studien. Und die haben eben andere Reaktionen auf Medikamente, die Männer so haben. Oder auch andere Symptome. Ein weiterer Faktor ist aber auch das Alter. Und auch du wirst sehen, dass kleine Kinder wahrscheinlich nicht sollte Medikamente von den Erwachsenen kriegen. Wie wirst du das dann im dritten Alter? Wie ist das alles mit ganz allen Leuten? Können die nämlich Medikamente kriegen oder die nämlich Behandlungen kriegen oder vielleicht sogar die nämlich Diagnose kriegen, wie Jungleute? Die Frau hat sich Sophie nämlich gestellt. Und das ist die Frau, die Sophie seitdem beschäftigt.
First, my interest for the adult started when I was doing my PhD. I did a PhD on cognitive disorder in older adults living in Central Africa, because I started my first interest was in Sub-Saharan Africa. So I studied several things there. And so I did a PhD on cognitive disorder there. And I was struck by the fact that there are basically, we don't know much about older adults' health relatively to other age groups. And so, I think afterwards I said, okay, I will focus on older adults. So I did a postdoc more on the frailty and relationship between nutrition and frailty. And then I had the opportunity to work at the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is a WHO agency dedicated to cancer research. And I started to describe global cancer burden in older adults. And again, I was really surprised to discover that older adults, again, were neglected in research, in oncology research. And it's notably surprising because they are cancer occur when you are old mainly, you know, so the risk, the cancer risk increase with age. So basically, you are more risk of developing a cancer after 60, 70 than at 50 or 40. But at the same time, they were underrepresented in studies in general. So I want you to fill the gap.
Ich nutze diesen Podcast ja regelmäßig als Inspirationsquelle für mich und natürlich auch für euch, für eventuell irgendwo in Vakanz zu fahren. Los so, Sophie kommt aus Dijon und von Dijon weiß ich eigentlich nicht viel, außer Moster. Und dafür habe ich gedacht, okay, wenn ich da schon eine Person aus Dijon noch sitzen habe, dann freue ich auch, was macht dann der Staat aus? Sophie hat geliefert.
It's a very nice city. And there is mustard, there are wine, there are, how do you call, anise. You have good food. And yes, I don't know exactly what to say. yes, I think it's good. Yes, for food, mainly food and the proximity of wine, red wine, yeah, and white wine too. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think it will be the, no, and the city center is very nice to see. So yes, I think it deserves at least one weekend, a long weekend there, and you go after to Boone. And it will be great.
Wann ich schon frage, für was gehen eigentlich die Iller Leute ausgeschlossen aus den Studien, dann hat das verschiedene Gründe. Unter anderem, wann ein so alles, dann kann ich davon ausgehen, dass der Krebs eben nicht nehmen allein könnt, mehr dass auch nach einer Krankheit schon präsent sind, beziehungsweise dass ihn auch Medikamente hält, die darum anstatt reagieren mit den Krebsmedikamenten, die muss füllen. Und ihr seht, der ganz gut relativ kompliziert. Und das ist wahrscheinlich auch der Grund, warum das so wenig Leute machen, außer eben Sophie. Nee, hat kann eigentlich besser erklären, für was das da so ist.
In clinical research, I think it's because when you age, you are more likely to get other diseases, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, whatever. So it's for people interested in assessing the effectiveness of a drug. They want to have people who are free of other conditions so that it's easy to show the effectiveness of their treatment. There is no contraindication. There is fewer risk of side effects and things like that. It's easier. So they are probably, they are including middle-aged patients because it's easier, basically. After, in population-based studies, why are we not interested in older adults? I think it will be depending on the field. For instance, if you are interested in Alzheimer's or dementia, obviously you will be interesting in older adults. But in cancer, I'm not sure why we are not that interested in that population. Probably it's not that sexy. I don't know. And there is, even if I'm not to researcher, but when I talk about that to his people in general, say, why do you care? They will die. Yes, that's true. Someday we will die. But I don't think that is a valid reason for not studying them. And I think there is also a part of, yeah, I don't know. Yes, I think it's a part of ageism.
Wenn ihr also eigentlich all, also dann froh von Mindset, also dann froh von ab dem Moment von der Pension geht, also offiziell all, also im Moment, wo ihr just noch that noises möcht, ob ihr will oder nicht. Bislo habe ich noch nie gewusst, wen ich das den Label all wirklich über eine Person zählt. Aber gesellschaftlich ist die Frage auch gar nicht so einfach zu erklären. Medizinisch gibt es mehr klare Antworten, wobei auch du nicht den exakten fixen Moment da hast.
Okay, I don't want to offend anyone. I think there is no one definition of old people. It's really depending on the question you are interested in. So for economic research, for instance, in economy, they are more interested at the retirement age, which is around 60 or 65. So after that, they will say it's old people. In medical field or biomedical field, depending where you are living, for instance, in Luxembourg and high income countries, probably you can start thinking old people around the age of 70 or 75 because they are at higher risk of having other conditions, as I said previously. But for other settings, such as in sub-Saharan Africa or some countries in Latin America, maybe we can lower this age cutoff to 60, for instance. So yes, there is no strict answer. So I hope that I didn't offend anyone. I think it's very relative. But yes, you have to choose to pick a cutoff. But ideally, the chronological age, so the age that we know, is not a good proxy, specifically in older adults, of your biological age or physiological age. As I mentioned earlier, you may have a 75-year-old man who is very fit, but another 75-year-old man who is very frail. They have the same chronological age, but biologically, one is older than the other one. Today, there are some biomarkers of aging, biologic biological aging, but there are not one answer to one biomarker who can tell you that you are old or you are old.
Okay.
So it's more tricky than just age. It's not a good proxy for old people, for chronological age.
Wie frischt so viel eigentlich? Das ist nicht so einfach, einen Satz zu suchen, weil natürlich kann ich suchen, guckt sich Excel-Tabellen an, zieht Konklusionen und dann ist das Resultat. So ist das aber nicht. Weil eben ganz viel individuell Fälle dabei sind, hat so viel auch, weil eben so viel individuell Fälle aus einer Forschung dabei sind, hat so viel andere wie von. In persönlichen wie. Ich will den ich nicht als typisch gegen beschreiben, den ich aber gleichzeitig auch extrem schön fand, dass er dazu mischt. Nämlich persönlich Gespräch. Auf wie machst du das eigentlich?
No lab work. It's a mix of playing with data and interviewing patients. So yes, so for we will work with patients, and oncologists and GPs. We will we are developing studies which are almost ready to be submitted to the ethical committee, which plan to interview GPs. So again, to try to understand their reasoning when the patient come with non-specific symptoms and how they come to refer this patient for cancer diagnosis, but also oncologist and patient. We would like to observe the consultation between oncologist and patient to see how they discuss the treatment strategy, and then to interview oncologist to see what is their perspective on how the discussion was. And we will also plan to have focus group discussion, so the group discussion with patients so that they can share their own perspective on how the process of making a decision around their treatment was taken and how they were involved. So yes, so there's a patient part and oncologist part. So it will be many interviews. And we are playing with data, sorry. And we will probably work with hospitalization data and cancer registry data to do statistics and fancy things.
Neben den persönlichen Gesprächen hilft es aber, wenn ihr einen großen Datensatz hat, wo ihr sich kennt, die eine oder andere Konklusion daraus ziehen. Aber geht es denn eigentlich?
As of today, there are data in Luxembourg, but they are not ready to be analyzed. So we will work on that, but it will take time. But otherwise, we will use data from the UK. There is this CORRECTAR resource, which is cancer registry data for patients with colorectal cancer. And this data was merged and linked with hospitalization data, pharmacy data, and so on. So we are very comprehensive. So the idea is to use this kind of data to do this prediction modeling that I was talking earlier, or to look at treatment effectiveness. But we are also looking for other data from Norway, for instance, where the data is looks amazing in terms of comprehensiveness.
In this podcast, we've already met ganz viele Leute aus der Krebsforschung gespart. Beispielsweise mit Johannes Meiser oder mit Claudine Backes. Und immer stellen sich Krebsforscher die damit froh. Wie frustrierend ist es eigentlich, an dem Beruf zu schaffen, wenn ich weiß, häufig gerade die ganze Welt drin, die besten Wissenschaftlerinnen und Wissenschaftler, die es gibt, und einfach von mir seit Jahrzehnten nicht die eine Pille, die den Krebs einfach verschwinden lässt. Also muss ich logischerweise auch so viel die damit vorstellen. Wie frustrierend aus dem Job eigentlich?
I'm not very frustrated because I think I just accept the fact that we may get cancer one day. Everyone can get cancer. Some are higher risk than others because there are some also families that are more susceptible to develop cancer than others. But what I would like is that the quality of life of patients with cancer and is good even after diagnosis and during treatment, at least as good as possible. And I don't think we can avoid cancer at all. Mm-hmm. We cannot reduce your risk at zero. We can't. But if we can cure them or treat it, that's and your quality of life is preserved or functional status is preserved, I think it should, could be a big win already. But it's not true for all cancer, unfortunately, today. But yeah.
Welcher denn eigentlich Epidemiologist? Schön un, dass du nicht der Krank Sophie an seiner Primärschule sitzt und angefangen zu malen, wie ein Dramdruck dort tut. Das Bank längst von ihm, die ich persönlich geschrieben hat, ich bin deren Doktor, die Person Rietz hat gesagt, ich bin Profifußballer und vis-à-vis wollte nach ihm die Pumpe gehen. Und er hat auf sein Blatt geguckt und gesagt, ich fuhr schon am Krebs. Ich meine, so geht es ganz, ganz selten. Und aber sind schon mal gespannt, was der Moment war, wo Leute gesagt haben, ja, das tut dir weh, dir nicht will gehen.
I think I was not very curious, but I was interested in many things. So science was, I was more a scientist, scientific mind than a, how do you say that, literary, yes, I'm struggling with words, but not words. I write pretty well, but just make, yeah, I was not good in French or philosophy, things like that. And I think just, I was interested in biology, so I did biology, and then I discovered the epidemiology at some point in my studies. I said, oh, looks nice in Africa. Oh, great. I tried, I got into this, at that time it was a DEA, so DEA, master level. And yes, after I said, okay, epidemiology is my thing. But I love going, because of the diversity of the activities, I love going to meet this mother with her newborn and asking questions and understanding. And in Africa, new rural area, it was an amazing experience. I said, I want to do that. And after that, I moved a bit from Africa and I'm more working on behind my computer, but yeah.
Why Africa?
I don't know. There are many young people interested in Africa. I want to help people. And basically helping, I don't know. I think kind of I don't know exactly why. I don't know why. Probably because it was so different from France. You could not do more extreme. So probably just, I don't know why Africa specifically. I'm not really, I went to Asia, but I was more attracted to Africa than Asia, for instance. For some reason, I don't know.
A junge Joren lesen sich oft beeinflusst von dem, was andere Leute über die Isolen. Oder wegen Tipps, dass sie vielleicht für ihn haben. Mach das du, mach auf keinen Fall das. Also wie ich schon in dem Alter war, habe ich das auch wollen machen, mehr ist schon das gemacht und ist auch glücklich. Ich meine, wir kennen alle gut die Sätze. Beim Sophie kann aber froh sein, dass er einfach nicht gelauscht hat, weil er gut an der Highschool, weil er gut am Lycée von seiner Prof nämlich Folgendes gesagt.
In Highschool, my math teacher told me that I was not a scientist. And yes, and probably she was not totally wrong. I'm not thinking like a scientist as you could imagine a scientist. I don't think straight, you know, but apparently it's not really true even for her. So I don't know. And later on when I was doing my PhD, because I did a PhD, I started my PhD kind of late. I was almost 32 when I started my PhD. So for France, it's very old. one of the French professors told me, you are too old, you will never succeed in research. Don't expect to do research in France. So yes, don't listen to others, because now I'm here, I am leading a research unit.
Normalerweise, wenn Leute Erholung brauchen oder so ein «Boah, lo, ich gab hier, ich will eigentlich richtig, richtig reisen», dann gehen sie auf einen Platz. Und zwar einen Platz, der so weit fort ist von ihrem aktuellen Standort, wie es nicht mehr geht. Und oft, zumindest wenn ich an der Gegend von Lützburg wohnt, ist das Neuseeland. Und da geht ihr nicht nur auf sich nur Hobbits, sondern probiert ihr wirklich da, das meiste aus seiner Zeit zu machen. Und Sophie ist mit seiner ganzen Familie auf Neuseeland geplündert. Und wie hat es da gefunden und für was das hat überhaupt da war, das erzählt hat am besten selber.
I think everyone enjoyed it, really. Really. My partner was took it like a break, a real break. He didn't even stop working. So it was great. And working in New Zealand could be worse. So it was... It was very happy. It was from so at that time, my youngest daughter was four and a half, and so she didn't speak English at all. At the end of the year, she was fluent in English. But she lost everything now, but so it was amazing. And I think she struggled a bit at the beginning because she couldn't understand the language. But at four, we learned very quickly, so it was not an issue for a very long time. And my oldest daughter, she was 13, and she really enjoyed it because it's very different school system as well than in France. They are more free. She could do things differently. And for international people, they are really, you know, they make sure to. That every kid learn English, so they have intensive course in English. So now she's completely fluent in English, so it was great for her. And they all, yes, everyone, my little one just told me a few weeks ago that she missed New Zealand. It was very, very nice, really, very nice.
Du schaffen, wo andere Vakanz machen, so kein den eventuell im Sophie-Sing-Forschung an Neuseeland beschreiben. Aber wie ist das eigentlich, wenn ihr so ein Research-Team an Neuseeland hört und vor allem Drehs muss finanzieren? Geht es da irgendwie ein Buchs? Ich hole mal für sämtliche junge Forscherinnen und Forscherin, die vielleicht sich gerade so beim Lauschen, boah, so auch mal in Neuseeland können schon reinke machen. Aber ja, das immer knete, pinke und Geld auf dem Matt spielen. Dafür, wie hat die Drehs eigentlich finanziert?
Basically, in research, if you want to do research, you need to have money. So either you apply for grant for a project, so you have an idea and you look for money to hire people and to pay anything you need to conduct your research. Or you may also have this fellowship, but a fellowship is for one person. So a Marie Curie fellowship, for instance, it's more for early career researcher. I think now there are up to 7 or 8 years after their PhD, I don't remember. But it's to gain experience in other countries and to see something else and to build and to reach independence. So you're getting your PhD, you may have worked 1 or 2 years before applying, or you can apply directly after your PhD to a Marie Curie fellowship. And then you spend two years in another country and doing your research with your idea in a host institution. The ATTRACT fellowship, so it's a bit different. It's 5 years, so it's not only you funded, it's you plus a team. And so it's a 5-year funding to set up a research group. And at the end, you are supposed to say to conduct your research. So I don't know that yet because I'm in the middle of my fellowship. But the idea is that yes. So it's just to another way to have money to do your research. And the ATTRACT is really to set up you as a research unit and in Luxembourg specifically. You have other type of fellowship at European level, as ERC and other type, but yeah, just to take these two. For me, when I was a young researcher, just after a PhD, it was for me the Graal, you know, the things that you cannot have because it's very highly competitive and all people who tried it, didn't get it or didn't get it after the first time. So you have to apply at least two times to hopefully get it. And most of people don't get it. So I said, never. But I wanted to go to New Zealand because I met Professor Diana Sarfati. And I said, I want to work with you. We have common interest. And she said, I don't have any money. Okay, I will find some funding to come. And the only way of going there was to apply for this Marie Curie Fellowship. And so I applied. And luckily, I got it.
First time.
So early February in 2019, 6 in the morning, I got the email saying, I didn't understand at first because they say, congratulations, you reach the next step. I didn't know what that mean. But basically, so I went to my partner, I said, we are going to New Zealand. And the fellowship, they attract, but the same thing, I was approached to apply to that fellowship. I said yes, but like for Marie Curie, it's highly competitive. So you just try. You make your best, you do and try. But I think the only thing you have to do if you want to get a fellowship is just to try and to have a contact with your host institution, to have an idea. I won't even say a good idea, because even if it's a good idea, but sometimes you may have a good idea, a perfect CV, but doesn't get it for some other reason. I think, yeah, just try. Don't be afraid to try.
Wir sind am Schluss von unserem Podcast gekommen. Aber wie immer, heute in der Witte, der letzte Wort.
Oh, I don't like that. Again, it's the same problem. You know? No, thank you very much for having me. Yes, I don't have any... Yes, if I don't know who will be listening to that podcast. But yes, take care of older adults in general and think of them and grandparents. And if we can study more older adults' health in general, I would be very happy. And specifically in Luxembourg, we don't know anything about the health of older adults. There is no study done or very few study done on this population. And I think it's a pity. And we should do better because older population is increasing and our population are aging. And
one day we are the old guys.
Sorry?
One day we are the old guys.
Yes, I will be old soon. Not that soon. But I think, yes, we need to consider, yes, to not to treat, but to consider everyone, regardless of age and every other characteristic, gender, ethnicity, and so on. So yes, everyone should be equal, even in research.
Das war es von mein Element für das Jahr. Und effektiv ruft mal bei euren Großeltern nun. Froh, wie es ihnen geht, für ein allem, dass gerade Wärme dabei sind, erinnert zu tun, dass sie genug trinken, besicht sie vielleicht noch ein Jahr. Und für den Rest hoffe ich, dass euch das Episode von Mein Element gefallen hat. Merci dem Sophie. Wenn dir noch mehr über die Krebs oder Krebsforschung zu Lützburg interessiert, dann geht ein Jahr an den Feed von diesem Podcast gucken. Du noch die ein oder andere Interview, die euch da könnt interessieren, zum Beispiel mit Claudine Backes oder mit Johannes Meiser. Wir hören uns die nächste Woche für in allem, wenn da followed, deelt, abbewehrt. Bis dann. Ciao.